Thank you. Well, as a church, we've been looking at prayer, really, over these last weeks. And in a different context, several weeks ago when I was preaching here, I just gave a throwaway comment, really, about prayer, and used the acronym PRAY, P-R-A-Y. And, well, it was ACTS, really, about prayer, A-C-T-S, ACTS, and said that we use, when you learn how to become a preacher, if you like, how to lead a service through, that ACTS is a good aid memoir, a good memory aid to help you in your praying. And so the A-C-T-S of ACTS, the A stands for adoration. And so more often than not, we start our prayers in adoring. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We adore you. And then C comes next. A-C is for confession. We confess that we are sinners, that we've failed, that we've let you down, we've done things we shouldn't have done, we've said things we shouldn't have said, and we've not said things that we should have said. And then T is thanks, and we give thanks that although we are sinners, his blood can make the foulest clean, that we can know that we are saved, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the S of A-C-T-S, supplication. That's a posh way of saying praying for others. We pray for Michael, we pray for BMS, we pray for other situations. And that's not just something that helps us to remember. There is P-R-A-Y as well, there's the days of the week. What's the recipe? Teaspoon as well, T-S-P. You know when you've got a recipe? T-S-P. What was it? Thanks. With boys and girls, you say, thank you. What shall we thank the Lord for this morning? For mummy and daddy, for clothes, for food? Thanks. And then TSP. The S is for sorry. I'm sorry. And then P is please. So please, I'm sorry, so please let me have a new bike or whatever it is. But these little aid memoirs to help us, that in fact, the last time I said that, someone told me in this church on the door, their little acronym that helps them to pray. So 2 weeks ago, was it Eric Moore spoke on adoration? Last week, it was Dick Chammins on confession. Today, we're on thanks. And the passage that we have is Isaiah chapter 12. Thanks is a very difficult thing. It's not always easy to say thank you. When we were children, when it came to Christmas afternoon, you'd had your dinner and your toys and all the rest of it, and Mother would say, write your thank you letters. What a chore that was to say thank you. Not just me then, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Thank you, Auntie Sheila, for that lovely jumper. The colours were just right. It fitted. We've all got an auntie. It was cousin. That were boys at the right auntie. She, anyway, that's another. She's dead and gone now, so she'll never hear this. But well, we have to give thanks with a grateful heart, don't we? We have to be joyful in that sense. There are so many passages in Scripture that tell us about in the church. Sometimes in church, the priest would say, let us give thanks to the Lord. And there's a response. It is meet and right for us so to do, to give thanks. We sing our songs this morning. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, giving our thanks. So in our upbringing, in our church life, in our hymn books, thanks is a big, big part. However, we're in Isaiah chapter 12, and it's called Songs, plural, of Praise. There are two songs in Isaiah chapter 12, and the context of this praise, of this thanksgiving, really, is not all bubble and froth. Sometimes when we mention praise, we think, oh dear, it's going to be whipping up something. I was talking to somebody just last month, actually, and he was saying, he said, you know, I was in a church, and he said, we sang this particular song 10 times, would you believe that? He said the person at the front was trying to whip something up that just wasn't there. It was just going on and on and on. And then during those 10 times that they sang this chorus 10 times, And he said everybody was stood up and some gave up the ghost and sat down and some didn't know what to do and some were embarrassed. Anyway, after 10, he counted 10 times, they all sat down. They all sat down. And the bloke at the front said, let's sing it again. And he told me this, they sang it another 5 times. They were whipping something up. That's not what praise is. That's not what praise is. Not whipping up something that just isn't there. And I have to say that straight away, because the context of praise in Isaiah chapter 12 is Isaiah chapter 6. So if you turn back, if you've got your Bibles with you, to turn back to chapter 6 and verse 9, the prophet Isaiah is commissioned or given a job to do. And wasn't Faye very brave this morning by standing up here and saying she wanted to join and be given a job to do? There's the rotors at the back. Well, Isaiah stood up and he said, here am I, Lord, use me, I'm ready. And God said, I've got a job for you, Isaiah. And do you know what it was? It was verse 9. He said, go and tell this people. That was Isaiah's commission. He had to go and tell and spread the good news. And do you know what the news was? Verse 11 and 12 will tell you, it was a message of judgment. This wasn't bubble and froth. Listen to the message. He said, how long shall I go? And he said, until the cities lie ruined without inhabitant. You know, there's going to be, disaster is going to come. The cities are going to be, you've seen the pictures of Ukraine. That's what's going to happen. That's the message that you've got to give to your countrymen, that their cities are going to be destroyed. There's going to be nobody left. Houses are going to be left deserted, verse 11. Fields are going to be left ruined. You won't be planting crops because there'll be nobody there to, you might plant, but you won't be there to harvest until the Lord has sent everyone far away. You're going to be captured and sent far away. The land will be utterly forsaken. That was the message that Isaiah had to give. That doesn't sound a cause of praise to me, quite frankly. That doesn't cause it. In fact, it's quite negative, really. There's nothing to give thanks to the Lord with a grateful heart for that, is there? That your cities are going to be destroyed, your houses are going to be, your fields are going to be deserted, you're going to be taken away, imprisoned, if you like, taken captive. But it's balanced with a message of grace, of rescue, that someone will come and will rescue you. Yeah, this is what will happen, but you can be rescued, you can be pulled back. If you repent, if you repent. And so, in chapter 9, there is a prophetic fulfillment. And in chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, it says this. Chapter 9, verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, he will be called Wonderful. Can you see who this deliverer is, by the way? You've got it already, haven't you? His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing, and his reign will go on forever. It's the message of Christmas. There's going to be judgment for your sin, but the Messiah will come and save and rescue. So that is the context of Isaiah chapter 12. Judgment, but there is deliverance. You're going to be judged for your sin, but there is a deliverer, a Messiah, a Saviour, and he will take that punishment away. So, I'm saying it's Isaiah. Before we look at Isaiah chapter 12, I ought to just say a little bit about how prophecy works, what the prophetic... Very often in the Bible, when we speak about the prophetic scriptures, there is an immediate fulfillment and a long-term and a future fulfillment. The best illustration that I've put down is, well, it applied to me and my brother, but I don't know. It was when Mother caught us smoking behind the, you know. Oh, some of you as well, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. There would be an immediate consequence. Normally a clout round the ear roll. But then she would say, you'll get a cough. You'll, when you're at school doing games, you'll run out of puff. You'll have no money. This is all in the future. And then you'll die of lung cancer. There's an immediate consequence. Your clothes will smell. But there'll be a long-term fulfillment. Well, Isaiah is writing 700 years before Christmas, if you like, before Jesus came, before Matthew's gospel was written. There's an immediate, which we'll look at, and then a future fulfillment. And the immediate, if you turn to Isaiah 36 now, turn to Isaiah chapter 36, and we'll see how this works. Because the message is, in Isaiah chapter 36, this is the immediate fulfillment, that the king of Assyria, a man called Sennacherib, there's a name to get a tongue twister, isn't it, to get you, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, he comes and, what does it say above the italics, above Isaiah chapter 36, Sennacherib comes and threatens Jerusalem. And although it's chapter 36, this is still in Isaiah's lifetime. You know, this isn't future, this is what it was happening. In Isaiah's lifetime, the immediate fulfillment is judgment, and it's going to be bad. We read about it. Your fields are going to be, your houses are going to be destroyed. You're going to be taken away captive. And Sennacherib comes and threatens. Chapter 37 says, deliverance will come. Deliverance is foretold. And Sennacherib, he's there threatening. He's at the doorstep of Jerusalem, if you like. He's just about, you know, shaking his saber and rattling his spears and swords. And then guess what happens? Chapter 37, verse 7 says this. I am going to put a spirit on him, and he will return. He will return. He'll go back. He's threatening you now, but I'm going to make circumstances that... And you know what? In verse 37 of chapter 37, we actually read, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew and returned back to Assyria, to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. And he stayed there. That was the immediate fulfillment that they were delivered, if you like. It didn't happen. The longer-term fulfillment came 700 years later at Christmas, when the delivery from sin and sin's punishment came. And so that's the background, being thankful for deliverance. All right, I'm taking a long time to get there, but that's the background of Isaiah chapter 12, deliverance from judgment. And so we can sing and say with confidence, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for that we've been delivered, that we have been saved, that, yes, it might have been Billy Graham come and preach a sermon, but God moved in our hearts and our lives. We went to church. A friend spoke to us about the Lord Jesus, that if we repented of our sins, said we were sorry, TSB, thanks, sorry, please, we repented of our sins in a simple childlike manner. Nonetheless, it happened. That great transaction's done, and we became freed from our sin. So thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Isaiah chapter 12, we are there now. Songs of praise, and it's songs plural. As I indicated, there are two songs in these six verses, and both begin, in that day you will say. That's what it says in verse 12, verse 1 of chapter 12, in that day you will say. And verse 4 begins, in that day you will say. But as we tried to indicate, they are, one is singular and one is plural, like we did on the screen. Jeff read the first bit, singular, and then we all joined in the second bit, didn't we? The promises as a church that we will pray and be hospitable and look after Faye and give her lots of jobs to do. And too late now. but that's the idea, and that's what this is. The first three verses are singular, they are individual. individual songs of praise, and the final three verses are communal, collective. And I don't read Hebrew, actually. It was written in Hebrew originally. I read that in a book, that one is singular and one is plural, so I'm not clever in that sense. So one is individual praise, and the second part is giving thanks together. So we look at the first song, which is my praise, my thanks, if you like, individual. And the reason I praise God is because, first of all, my sins are forgiven, that I've been delivered from God's judgment. What does he say in verse 1? From God's anger, it's been turned away from me. Your anger has turned, my sins are forgiven. I've been delivered. And verse 2, you are my salvation. I'm saved. That's why I praise God, that I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, as we said, for saving my soul. The joy of salvation. So I thank God that my sins are forgiven, that verse 1, I have been comforted. What a comfort to know that we can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. This isn't a hope-so faith. Oh, I hope when I get to heaven that God will welcome me. This is a no-so. Blessed that Jesus is mine. So I'm grateful that my sins are forgiven, and I know I've been comforted. So verse 2, I can trust and not be afraid. What wonderful reasons for giving thanks. I've been saved. I've been comforted. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They strengthen me. So I can trust and not be afraid. It's all there in these six verses. So that is my praise, that I am saved. I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have, verse 3, drunk from the wells of salvation. I'm saved. The second song, in verse 4, 5, and 6, is our praise, our communal, plural praise. And it says, we sing with joy. We sing with joy, verse 6. Let sing aloud. And shout aloud and sing for joy, you people, collectively, plural, you people of Zion, sing with joy. We used to say people going to church looked as though they were going to the dentist. And when they came out, they looked as though they'd been. Well, we can sing with joy, you know, can't we? We can sing collectively with joy. Together we, verse 4, make known what he has done. We declare to all. In that day, you, plural, will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, proclaim his name to be exalted, sing to the Lord. He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. BMS, Biddeford, Westward Ho, Appledore, all the world, whatever our world might be, our people that we work with, our neighbours, all the world, let it be known to all and sundry. And we rejoice that verse 6, he is among us. He is among us. That's why we rejoice. Have you got the idea? I've nearly finished, actually. I've given a lot of background this morning, been a lot to... Let me summarise. Three T's. Trust, thank and testify. Verse 2, I will trust and not be afraid, because God is my strength, God is my song, God is my salvation. So I will trust, I will trust, I will thank. Verse 4, I will praise you, I will thank you, because you've done so much for me. And then verse 4, I will testify, I will make known among the nations, to all and sundry, what he has done. We have good news indeed to tell. We have a story to tell to the nations. Judgment, yes. That's the context. There's judgment. But deliverance too. Praise and evangelism, they're joined together, if you like. They go together. It's not all... Excuse me, sorry. 2 days ago, I had a meeting in Wiltshire, in Trowbridge. Actually, I had to go to drive to Trowbridge, and as you go, well, the way I went anyway, over the Mendips, and it was a the sat nav sent. I went down a little country. Anyway, we got there, and there's a little village called Chelwood. And we also went, I'll just tell you this, we also went to Kilmersdon. Is that what it was called? Kilmersdon. Anybody heard of Kilmersdon? Anybody heard of the nursery rhyme, Jack and Jill went up the hill? It's Kilmersdon. It's the village of Kilmersdon. And on the sign, when it says, welcome to Kilmersdon, there's a picture of Jack and Jill. And there's the hill. Fancy having a well at the top of a hill. But there's the well, there's a walk, it's a tourist attraction in Wiltshire. Is it Wiltshire or still in? Anyway, it's on the way to Trowbridge from Bristol. You can edit that bit out because there's... Where are we? Oh, yeah, Chelwood. This village of Chelwood. And as you go to Chelwood, it says the sign, welcome to Chelwood. And then underneath it says, a thankful village. A thankful village. What a nice... And then I thought, what's a thankful village? And there's a... I mean, I knew that it was a thankful village, and I know what a thankful village is. A thankful village is a village where everybody who went to the Second World War came back. And so they're thankful. Did anybody know that? There you are, then. That's something to Google, then, isn't it? There are about five villages that are, gives the name, and it'll say, a doubly thankful village. Because everybody who went to the First War... Everybody came back. So unusual, isn't it? All these little villages round here, most of them have a cenotaph. They have somewhere to go on November the 11th and lay their poppies. But Chelwood doesn't, because it's a thankful village. They are thankful that nobody died. We, however, are thankful that somebody did die on a cross. We are thankful that the Lord Jesus died, the just for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Thankful village. You remember that, won't you now? Remember, yeah. They're grateful that no one died, but we are grateful that he died on our behalf. I'll just finish off. Prophecy has... very often an immediate fulfillment, which it had. Assyria came and then they went because Sennacherib got called away. There's a future fulfillment, Christmas, 700 years later, when the Lord Jesus came. But there can be further fulfillments, and there is still future fulfillment. And Isaiah looks even beyond. In fact, he looks to the very end, when the Lord will bring in a new heaven and a new earth. And we're looking at Isaiah chapter 12, but if you just look back to Isaiah 11, verses 6 to 9, he says, in that day, that future day, that day still to come, the wolf will live with the lamb. There's a combination, isn't it? A wolf with a little lamb. Wolf would normally tear a lamb to pieces, wouldn't it? But the wolf will live in harmony with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf, and the lion together with the yearling. A little child will go up and feed a lion. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down and play together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young child will put his hand into the snake's net, the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That's a day still to come, my friends. That's still future. That's still to be fulfilled. But what a prospect. So... Chapter 12, verse 4, give thanks to the Lord. And verse 6, sing for joy, for great is the God who is among you. So thank you, Jesus. 633 is our final song this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.